Here we go, for real this time.
I like to eat the mic.
Red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. Oh, let me do that again.
Who just texted?
Sorry. Red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. Red sky, oh my gosh, I cannot say it.
Cut. Hold on. Do I look cross-eyed right now when I'm looking at the thing?
A little bit.
For the Cast and Blast Florida podcast, serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
Welcome back. We are really excited slash a little nervous about today's show because we're talking about outdoor superstitions.
Ooh.
But first, we want to take a moment to say thank you.
That's right, Nate. We've already gotten some amazing reviews on iTunes, and we just wanted to take a second to share some of those with you guys to see what people are saying about the show. Nate, what do you got?
The first one's from a guy named Alan in Big Pine Key. First of all, Alan, hope you're doing okay. You didn't sustain too much damage during the hurricane.
Our thoughts and prayers are with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And Alan from Big Pine says, laughing, listening, learning, and prepping for the hurricane. Great first show.
We also have one from CK Von Can. Currently my favorite podcast. These guys have a great charisma together. Actually easier to listen to than John Boy and Billy. Says a lot coming from me. If you don't fully understand the subject matter, the structure of the podcast lowers the entry barrier so you feel like part of the conversation while also remaining relevant to more experienced outdoor listeners. Guys, we didn't pay for any of these reviews.
No. That last one was a good one.
That's great. I mean, these are great.
Well thought out. Yeah.
And we honestly don't know who these people are.
Nope.
So thank you to everyone out there that's listening to us. We really appreciate these reviews so much. So if you could please this week, take a second, go to iTunes, leave us a review or a rating. It helps other people find the show. It'll help us out greatly. Thank you so much for doing that. With that said, let's get into today's main segment, superstitions in the outdoors.
Now, I'm not a very superstitious person.
Okay.
But I do agree with some of these on this list
Hang on a second. Hang on a second. I forgot something. When we first talked about doing this episode, in my mind, I had this vision for that song, Very Superstitious, to like play underneath us while we were
a little Stevie Wonder.
Okay. Well, I'm embarrassed to admit that I thought Stevie Wonder was Lionel Richie.
Oh,
I was really confused by that,
man.
So in addition to that, we couldn't get a license to play it under.
Yeah. Of course.
The other thing I kept envisioning was the Elvis song, Superstitious Minds.
Okay.
That's not a real song. The song is Suspicious Minds. So I Googled that. I learned a lot about music having to do with superstitions this week.
I'm glad. It has nothing to do with what we're going to be talking about.
Nothing at all. But anyway, go ahead with what you were going to say.
Okay. No, but I was just going to say I'm not that superstitious of a person. But some of these we have on this list, I am very serious about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Do you want to start us on this? Was it Michael Scott? We talked about The Office a little bit last week. Was it Michael Scott that said...
I'm not very superstitious. I'm not a superstitious person, but I'm a little stitious.
That's it.
Yep.
First thing I've got on the list today is lucky hats.
Oh, yeah.
How you feel about lucky hats?
I've got some lucky hats.
Okay.
Well, okay. So I had a lucky hat when I was younger, growing up hunting. Like, I had this camo hat. The brim was actually broken inside, so it kind of flopped around a little bit.
Yep.
But I would wear that hat every time I went hunting up until like I was like 13 or 14. I kind of outgrew it a little bit. And then I got another one. It's like a real tree, all mesh, perfect for Florida. Keeps you nice.
Do you know where
cool.
that hat is?
Absolutely.
Okay. Because I thought I had it.
Now that I think about it, you might have it.
I think it's hanging on my hat rack.
You might
garage.
Have it.
Do you remember my lucky hat situation from last duck season?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
The story goes like this. This is the abridged story. I have this lucky Avid hat. Shout out to Avid Gear, one of my favorite hats. It's this camo hat with a little orange hook on the front. And it's my lucky hat. Like, I always kill stuff with it. I always catch stuff with it. And Nate and I were hunting. It was early wood duck season.
Yep.
And I lost the hat.
Yeah, it just, like, disappeared for, like, 15 minutes.
And I also forgot to put the plug in the boat. So we may have been sinking.
I mean, there was, like,
8
inches of water in the boat.
Yeah. And I don't have a bilge pump. But the point was, we had not killed anything. It was, like, 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning.
Pretty slow.
And I found the hat, placed it upon my head, and what descended from the heavens?
Wood ducks. Descended from the heavens, and we ended up killing a few ducks that day.
It's not for us to question the ways of the lucky hat.
I'm not going to question it.
So I'm not a superstitious guy, but
That day I was. Superstitious that about day I was.
What about, all right, here we go. The goat. The goat the of goat. The superstitions. The OG.
Yeah, the OG.
Bananas on the boat.
Oh, man. I don't know a captain that will let bananas on his boat.
Have you heard of these captains that draw the line with like banana boat sunscreen or Fruit of the Loom underwear?
Yeah, like banana flavored candy.
Yeah.
Things like
Laffy
that.
Laffy Taffy's oh, yeah. not welcome on the boat. So I've got, there's a couple theories about this.
Okay.
One is that bananas float. So historically, like when a shipwreck would occur, the bananas would float and that'd be all that was remaining.
Okay, so interesting. So
people grew bananas a superstition were on that.
Bad luck, right.
I did not know this until recently that bananas actually off gas and cause other fruits to ripen quicker. So I wondered if crewmen maybe thought if their other stuff spoiled really fast that the bananas were the reason.
Yeah, okay.
I will tell you, as a charter captain, one of my least favorite things, because I don't allow bananas on the boat, is people that they book a trip, right? They come to Florida. They go to Disney World for the day. They book a day to come down and go tarpon fishing with me. Like, they drive all day. Their kids are miserable mm-hmm. because they're not seeing Mickey Mouse and whatever. And we go out there, and, like, the prop breaks. The trolling motor doesn't work. We can't find a tarpon to save our life.
Right.
And at the end of the day, after like the 6 hours of hell on the boat, they're like, oh, we brought a banana just to see if it was bad luck or not. I'm like, what is in your head, people?
Face palm.
Yeah. Why are you tempting this thing? The wrath from high atop the thing.
I mean, even if you don't believe in it, why even try? Like, what's the point of even trying?
Do we need bananas?
Yeah, sure.
But do we need them on boats?
Absolutely not. There are thousands of other snacks that you can bring. Other types of fruit.
Have you heard this one? Never rename your boat.
I don't think I've heard this one.
Okay. I've heard this one's a boat owner all my life, that if a boat comes to you named, you can't change the name of it. Or there's this guy on the internet that's come up with this crazy process for doing it. But, you know, you're supposed to crack a bottle of wine on the front of the boat. And
right.
All okay. this jazz.
Christen it. Right.
Evidently, the reason you're not supposed to rename it, this took some digging. Some okay. Googling.
All right.
Is because the boat names are recorded in Poseidon's ledger.
Okay.
So if Poseidon recognizes that the boat name has changed, he will cause your boat to malfunction, sink, have some issues.
Okay.
The question I have with all this is, why does Ariel's dad care about my boat?
That is a good question. That is a very good question. Because he's got a lot of other things to care about, right?
Like, his daughter can't sing. Like, she lost her voice to the sea princess or something.
Right.
It's been a minute since I saw that. There's a talking crab, a talking fish, and he's worried about the boat name.
Yeah, I don't really get it. But, hey, your dad had a boat called the Sea Squirt Hooker.
Yes, he did. Deacon in church, and he had a boat called the Hooker.
The Hooker. I will never forget that boat as long as I live. We caught a lot of fish out of that boat.
Ton of fish.
It would beat you to death.
It had the wrong lower unit on it, so reverse was forward and forward was reverse. Yeah. I found that out the first time I took it off a trailer.
Oh, man, that's great.
All right, what's next on our list, Nate?
All right, next up we have red sky at morning, sailor take warning. Red sky at night, sailor's delight.
Yeah, and I didn't know this. That's from the Bible.
Yeah, Matthew 16:2-3.
Yeah, Jesus said something to that effect.
Right.
I don't have a Bible here in front of me, but
right.
he said something like that.
Right, he sure did.
And are you going to argue with Jesus?
No, I'm not.
I don't know who you think you are if you are.
Right.
I don't know why this is. I also, when I Googled this, Shakespeare, he quoted it or quoted
alluded
the scripture
to
or something.
It.
Alluded
yeah.
to it in a play, Venus and Adonis. I'm not really up on my
I'm not a big
Shakespeare literature.
Guy, I know.
Why is this true?
So basically what this means is, in the morning, if the skies are red, that means the sun has a clear path over the horizon, which means
it's cloudy.
Which means it's going to heat up the ocean faster, create more clouds, therefore potentially more
cause rain or weather,
potentially
inclement weather.
Right. Red sky at night, again, the sun has a clear shot over the horizon, which means maybe no storms the next day.
Okay.
At least that's my understanding of it.
That's a bunch of hooey.
It's a little weird.
But
I'm not gonna lie.
I do know when it's red in the morning, it is a lousy day.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it happen.
And when we have a pretty sunset, it's usually a good day.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay. What do you got next?
Next, we've got kissing your first bullet/shell.
Yeah, I don't do
that. Put in the gun. I don't either.
That's pretty gross if you ask me, because I've seen where some of those shotgun shells have spent the off season.
Who knows who's touched those things?
Yeah, as well as.
Or what has touched those
things? They've laid in the bottom of your boat for
right.
9 months, or you find it in the bottom of your blind. But I do know a couple of guys, when I asked this question online, a couple of my friends, posted that they kiss the first shell that they load every morning. I don't know if they're making out with it. I really don't want to know. Like, we may need a safe word for that conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Pumpernickel.
Yeah, I like that one.
But,
Doesn't your wife have a pretty good story about that?
Yeah, she actually kissed a shrimp one time.
Oh.
It wasn't a bullet, but she kissed a shrimp.
I don't know which told one my I'd daughter, rather kiss.
Yeah, right. I'd eat a shrimp, but after it's been cooked.
Yeah.
And she told my daughter, you're going to catch a redfish with that shrimp. And we hadn't caught anything all day. It was a terrible trip. And sure enough, like 30 seconds later, she was hooked into a big old red. Well, so
there you go.
Maybe kissing stuff works.
Maybe.
I will kiss my wife, but I'm not kissing anything else in the boat.
Yeah, I'm not kissing my shotgun.
That includes you, Labrador Retrievers, you know, any of the buddies we bring with us.
I'm in full agreement.
Yeah. I draw my kissing at my missus.
Yeah. All right, so what's next?
Next thing we got is this is a pet peeve in the guide community.
I bet it is.
You never ask, what are we fishing for here? So the idea being you don't roll up to a spot and say,
what are we going to catch here?
Yeah, what are we going to catch here? What are we targeting here? That's the kiss of death. That's a catfish call. That guarantees you a limit of ladyfish.
Mm.
Just not going to go well. Obviously, you got spots where you think you're going to catch snook or snapper, or particularly offshore, like you got a grouper hole or whatever.
Right.
Please don't ask what we're going to catch there. Let's just see what happens.
Let it come naturally to us. Yes. I mean, the fish are going to do what they want.
Yep.
But don't ask.
What you got next on the list?
Next, we've got, this one's, among duck hunters, this one's great. Things that flare ducks. So duck hunters get paranoid about this.
When?
If a duck even barely flinches.
A duck that may or may not have been coming to you.
Maybe not. He could be 400 yards in the air, not even know you're sitting there, and he could turn and go the other way, and all of a sudden, everybody's looking around, okay, what do we got in the boat? Are you covered up? Is your face covered up? Your hands? You got everything? We got that water bottle inside the bag.
Did you keep your hat down? Because saw the whites of your eyes when you glanced up at them. I took my whole family to Arkansas last season or the season before, and we were out there, and obviously we're Florida duck hunters, right? Florida duck hunters, you cover every inch.
Everything.
You do not move. You do not breathe. It's like SEAL tactic warfare out there trying to kill a duck. In Arkansas, these guys are out there, and their hats, they're camo on the front, but they're like the trucker hats, and the mesh on the back was white.
Interesting.
Okay, and day one, we didn't kill any ducks. Day two, we didn't kill any ducks. Day three, now there's ducks and geese everywhere. Day three, I wore my GoPro on my hat, my camo hat with my face mask.
Right, right.
And the guy looks over at me and goes, oh, I think that's going to flare ducks. I almost lost it.
Like, we almost threw down
there in the duck blind.
I can imagine.
And his squeaky Labrador Retriever.
You sure that thing's not flaring the ducks, buddy?
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's every time we set up on a spot, everybody does a double check throughout the boat, see if anything's shiny, anything's white.
Let me ask you this. Ducks are paranoid, right?
Oh, absolutely. Especially later in the season.
Later in the season. Have you hunted with the guy that's worried about the decoy cords? Have you seen this guy?
No.
Okay. So I hunt with a guy that worries quite a bit about the decoy cords. Like, if we use long lines and if one of the lines wraps back over the decoy, it doesn't look as natural to him.
Okay, yeah.
Even though the duck's floating just like all the others. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, like 20 years ago, if you didn't have 250 decoys, what did you use?
Like a bottle of some kind. Like a bleach bottle.
You take a bleach bottle or a Coke bottle, or you spray paint it black and white.
Right. Like a black back with a white wing.
And you kill a gajillion divers over it.
Yep.
So they're worried about a cord, but we're floating what looks like my recycling bin out there on the lake and killing ducks over it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm writing that one off.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that one. Now, I do think some things flare ducks, but the decoy thing, yeah.
What about lucky decoys? Do you have this?
I don't have any lucky decoys. Most of mine are rattling with BBs by the end of the season.
I do. Mm. I have a lucky decoy that I put where no one can shoot it.
Okay, that's smart.
It is a hen mallard.
Like in the boat.
No, it has to go out in the spread.
Okay.
For a long time, my lucky decoy was a floating bluebill.
Okay.
Mojo.
I've seen that decoy.
So it had the spinning wings. Mm-hmm. I've killed wood ducks over it. I've killed teal over it. Uh-huh. I've killed, you name it. We've killed it over that diver duck decoy. But she has since gone on to a better place.
Oh,
better
man,
time.
I like that decoy too.
My current lucky decoy is a hen mallard, which works great. You know, we got the Florida model, Florida mallards, like we talked about last week. It's a hen mallard, and her mouth's a little bit open, like she looks like she's quacking.
Okay.
For whatever reason, when I put her out, I kill ducks. So I put her out every time because this is the thing with all these superstitions. Do we believe in any of them? Not really.
Not really.
But no. Why wouldn't I put that decoy out? Like, why tempt it?
Right.
Because if I do and I have a lousy shoot, I know exactly why. Right?
Right.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. The next one grosses me out. I'm gonna let you take it.
Okay, so blood on the face for your first deer.
Okay.
And then eating a part of your first deer. Like just taking a bite out of it raw. All right. Like I've heard of people taking a bite out of the heart out of a freshly killed
deer. I am a Polk County redneck born and raised.
Uh-huh.
This is the grossest thing I've ever
heard. Yeah, I'm not into the whole taking a bite out of things.
Okay, did you put blood on your face with your first deer?
Yeah, I mean, you do. Maybe just like a little...
Like just a...
Just indie, like an athletic war paint kind stripe of right under the eyes type thing. I've seen some people like dip their whole hand down in there and just like cake it everywhere. I'm not really into that.
What about the eating the heart?
No, I'm not into that.
Is that what they eat as a heart?
I would eat the heart if I cooked it. I'm not going to eat the heart straight up.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm out on both of those.
Okay.
That's a ridiculous superstition.
I'm not gonna argue.
Banana's not
that.
Ridiculous.
No.
This is ridiculous. Let's just calm this down a little bit.
Yeah.
Polk County redneck boys, let's just dial it back on the eating of the hearts and the smearing of the bloods.
Yeah.
All right, what about the duck season beard?
Duck season beard. You know, you see a lot of guys on social media talking about getting my duck season beard ready, and it's like barely a 5 o'clock shadow.
The guy is most noted for the beards.
Duck Commanders. Phil, Willie, Jace, Robertson.
And what was it, 2-3 weeks ago when Jace shaved?
Yeah.
Did he do it for charity?
Yeah, it was for charity. Yeah. So it was good for a good cause, but it's like, man, like I didn't even recognize the guy the first time I saw a picture of him.
He's had years worth of beard there.
Years worth.
So I'm doing the duck beard this year. As you can see,
yeah,
well on my face. We'll get Kaylee to take a picture of my duck beard.
Okay.
Full on growth. Here. It's hard to recognize me almost without it. This is about 6 weeks, 6 weeks worth of growth.
Yeah.
And this is a thrilling conversation to have on a podcast.
No.
Talking about something visually that no one can see.
Absolutely.
So the last thing I got is legacy items.
Okay.
And in my head, this was something like your grandfather's gun or a shotgun shell that he carried in his pocket.
Yeah.
That maybe you stick in your breast pocket or something like that.
Yeah.
I actually use my grandfather's 1100 for one hunt a year.
There you go.
Not a very good hunt because it's a open bore 1100.
2¾ inch.
Yeah, like, no screw in chokes or anything, yeah. But it's just kind of cool to carry that on a hunt.
No, that's awesome. I'm into this one because I'm a big tradition guy.
Right.
So, you know, anytime you have something like that, that is passed down to you, that you feel is special to you and you think it's lucky, take it with you. Just do what you need to do with it, you know?
I saw something cool. You know, I'm a dog guy.
Right.
Like I'm a bird dog guy.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something cool the other day. I didn't save the link to it, but it was this guy that makes carved decoys and you can, they're hollow in the bottom and you can put your dog's ashes in the decoys.
Oh, that's cool.
So we talked about having a lucky decoy or a special decoy a few minutes ago. I think that's a pretty cool way to like, you can write their name on the bottom of the decoy and put that out the head of the spread or the head of the line or whatever. And always have that. That's kind of a neat legacy
item. No, that's awesome. I like that a lot.
Part of hunting is being sentimental about it, right?
Absolutely. All right. So my last one is throw in the first fish of the day bag.
Okay.
And I think I've heard this one from some people, but it's basically like you catch the first fish.
First keeper.
And you say, okay,
Poseidon,
Mother Nature, Poseidon,
Ariel's dad,
whoever, God, I'm throwing this one back to help replenish the resource. Now, please bless us with a plentiful day of fishing.
That's weird.
It's a little weird.
I'm in on it. Like I talked a couple weeks ago about turning snook loose.
Sure.
And even when I kept snook, I would always turn loose the first slot snook of the season because I was superstitious.
Right.
I felt like, hey, that's a good omen. Can I say that?
Yeah.
We've covered some heady ground here today.
Sure we have.
We've talked God. We've talked Poseidon. We've talked Ariel's dad, I guess.
Right.
We talked Jesus. He got in there for a few minutes. So
yep.
Superstitions weave a heady tapestry.
Sure they do. There's some serious psyche stuff going on here.
Definitely not something you want to trifle with.
No.
So on this list, what superstitions are you with? What are you against? Just quick hit.
For me,
Do you believe in and what do you don't?
I'm with the lucky hats.
Okay.
Bananas, red sky in the morning.
Yeah.
Things that flare ducks. I think I'm into that one. The other ones I don't like are renaming your boat. I don't get that one really. I don't get the duck season beard either. I think it's just been popularized through.
When you have a face like this and you can grow like this, it's hard to beat.
Yeah.
This will probably, just this conversation will increase our female listenership tenfold.
Yeah.
You're doubting me.
Yes.
You're a little skeptical.
I am very skeptical about
it. It's like a male model. So what you're saying is, of these ridiculous superstitions, you believe in some of them.
Some of them.
But not all of them.
Not all of them.
Yeah. I think I'm in on the lucky hats. I'm in on the bananas. Do not bring a banana on
the
boat.
No, yeah.
Hats are definitely lucky. Yeah. Things that flare ducks. Only if ducks flare, did something flare the duck.
Yeah, yeah. So if they're coming in at like, and they're at 50 yards and all of a sudden they flare. Yeah. Then we talk about it.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
You know, if I've got clients on the boat and we don't kill anything, something flared those
something
ducks.
Flared. Yep.
That's pretty much it. And obviously the duck season beard. Yeah. This might be the best beard in podcasting right now.
Oh my goodness.
It's time for Keep and Release.
All right. So every week, Travis and I both pick something that we like / keep and don't like / release. And this could be anything hunting and fishing related. Or outside of that, you know, anything really is up for grabs in this.
I got a good release this week.
All right. Hit me with it.
Duck season. We had an early teal season. And I write for a lot of waterfowl websites and stuff like that. Question I see all the time. What is the best choke? What is the best gun? What is the best ammo? And or any two of those three and or all three of those?
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Guys. It doesn't matter. Go buy some ammo, take your gun to the shooting range, and shoot things.
Shoot it.
Once you figure out when you can hit stuff, use that to kill ducks.
Or actually try to go pattern your gun, like shoot a big piece of paper, draw a circle
around
it.
Draw a duck on it.
Yeah, and see how many pellets are. It's not, you know, it's pretty simple because every gun is different. Every person shoots a little differently. Every ammo is different. Every choke is different. They don't all work.
This wreaks havoc when I do duck charters. This wreaks havoc.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because they come out there and they ask me, what do you shoot? And I shoot a full choke with number two shot for everything. But I shoot a lot of ducks.
Right.
These guys don't necessarily shoot as much as I do. So maybe they're used to a modified or an improved cylinder.
Right.
Don't go changing what you know.
That hurt me last season.
It did.
As you know.
I wasn't going to bring that up. But
well, I mean, I'll bring it up because I'm not, you know, I'm okay with it. So we were wood duck hunting.
Yep.
I had six beautiful shots at some
full plumed, like wall hanger, museum quality type
ducks.
Yeah,
you're making it worse. But
I have video.
And I'm sure you do. And they were like 20 yards,
maybe
10 yards.
Right. They were
decoying into the decoys. And I had a different gun than I usually shoot. In a different choke than I usually shoot. As I was shooting a full choke with my 870, not my modified with my Stoger, which I usually shoot for ducks.
And the lesson here is learn what you shoot and shoot it.
Yes, I shoot my other gun way better than...
What shoots best for me, what shoots best for Nate, is not what shoots best for you.
Yes.
You got to figure it out for yourself. And posting on Facebook, God almighty, people.
Yeah, it's not going to help
let's
you.
Just stop
it's just
going to
confuse you more than anything.
Yeah. So what's your release?
My release this week, along the lines of duck hunting, is having 11 mojos in your spread. See, I was watching a YouTube video last night.
Wait, this is your release and not your keep?
This is my release, man. Because I was watching a YouTube video last night, and they had 11 mojos. They had like 3 teal, 4 mallards, a couple of, you know, maybe a wood duck. But they had 11 in their spread. I think at some point, they become more detrimental than they actually help you.
Look, I think you're nuts. I think if I could have 27 mojos in my spread, I would like to have a long line for hunting divers of nothing but mojos, like 22 mojos clipped to a long line, all spinning in like synchronized spinning. I think that would be incredible. I only have 7 right now.
Okay. But you're working on 11.
I'm growing my union of mojos. But here, this is big time.
Okay.
This is not my keep item, but since you brought it up.
Okay.
Last season, we got a Mama Jamma mojo. Have you seen this thing?
No.
It's a mojo that floats and spins, but she's also got a bilge pump in her, so she spits
squirts water
out.
Out.
And she like moves around and like she creates a ruckus. The more mojos, the more better.
See, I don't think so.
Early season. I'll give you early season or divers. The more mojos, the more better.
Okay. Well, I've known nothing but bad after two mojos.
I just... This segment hurts my heart.
See...
Because we've talked about you missing wood ducks, and we've talked about you hating mojo ducks. And I
don't hate mojo ducks. I feel like I hate 11 mojo ducks.
I don't know
ducks.
That we get past this.
I just don't think you need 11. I think you need one or two. Maybe if the situation calls for it, three.
Or
but
six.
Have you ever... I mean, I just don't see the need for all that many mojos.
What's your keep item?
My keep this week is tree stand safety. Guys, deer season opened most of the state right now. This hurts more hunters in the woods than any gun by a long shot. It's these, you know, you get up in the stand or you're on the way up to the stand and you slip and you fall out of your tree stand. Please wear your safety harnesses. If you don't have one, go buy one. They're like $100.
Small price to pay for your family.
Yes.
And
how much is your life worth? It's way more than $100, I can guarantee you. So wear your stuff. Several guys have been paralyzed and or killed by tree stand accidents.
That's a good word. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm in on safety.
All right, Trav, what's your keep?
My keep item is Boca Coast Chum. Okay. I've actually been duck hunting more than I've been fishing lately.
Yeah.
But I use this stuff quite a bit over the summer and then into the late summer, right up to duck season. And, man, it just produces really well.
I haven't used it yet.
They're friends of the show.
Yeah.
They follow us on social media. They comment all the time.
Yeah.
James Christian, good guy. Super active Facebook group. And he worked really hard on this chum. It actually will sink and then float again. So you get different bait at different points in the column and at different times in the chum slit. So it really makes getting your bait a lot more efficient. For someone like me, like a guy that wants to be on the water,
right.
Get your bait and go.
You have to have bait to.
The days of chumming with jack mackerel and
that stuff,
menhaden oil and everything,
gross,
disgusting, and it takes a lot longer than this does.
Yeah.
So really good product. Check them out, Boca Coast. You can find them on Instagram at Boca Coast or on Facebook, Boca Coast. Order you a bag or two of the chum. You'll be very pleased. Just to clarify, too, we are not sponsored or affiliated. When we do keep and release, these are products that we actually like and use. We're not getting a kickback or anything else to talk about. We may do ads for products, but these are not those. These are the products that we use as well. So anyway, check them out, BocaCoast.com.
William Thompson, and it's time for the 2-Minute Will. First up, Travis, if you could have one drink right now, what would it be?
Oh, one drink right now at this very second, I would have to go Code Red Mountain Dew.
Oh, that's a strong choice.
Straight out of an ice chest.
Strong choice.
I know everybody was wanting me to pick a beer or something. I'm not really a beer guy, but I'd go Code Red Mountain Dew.
Yeah, that's a strong choice. I am a beer guy.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with a Seed Spitter from Grove Roots Brewing Company, Winter Haven, Florida.
Our hometown, Winter Haven, Florida. Get a little shout out, a little love right here on the podcast.
They have great beer, great atmosphere. If you're ever in the Winter Haven area, definitely come check
it out. Very cool place.
Next up, college or pro football?
That's not even a hard choice for me. College football all day, every day. It's there's just something about the pageantry, something about the beauty of the game.
Tradition.
And I'll be honest with you, without getting into the political stuff, I'm not a fan of all the protests and pro football and everything else.
Yeah, me neither. And I like the college guys are playing. I mean, they're playing for an NFL spot, but they're also most of these guys are just playing because they love to play football.
Yep.
And that shows on the field. So I'm with you on this answer. I'm in total agreement.
College football. 100 times out of 100.
All the time.
Yep.
Next up, tell us your favorite joke, Travis.
Nathan, what do you call a fish with no eye?
A fish with no eye. I don't know. That one's pretty good. What bird is in the construction business?
I don't know, Nate. What bird is in the construction business?
A crane.
That's excellent.
Next up, Florida State or Wake Forest?
This isn't even debatable. Florida State all day, every day.
Yeah.
It's a lead pipe lock. Bet the mortgage on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in agreement. I mean, that's, I think they're going to, I don't think it's going to be a close game.
Okay.
This one's a tricky one. How about the Gators versus Vanderbilt?
Gators. Vanderbilt hasn't even competed with the University of Florida since Jay Cutler was there. Like, this is a no-brainer.
This is true.
That wraps up this week's segment. Thanks for listening to the 2-Minute Will.
Thank you guys for listening to us this week. Make sure you keep up with all of our antics on social media at CastAndBlastFL or on our website, CastAndBlastFL.com. Until then, I'm Travis Thompson.
And I'm Nathan Henderson.
You're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast, the best thing to happen to Tuesdays since tacos. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. All production and editing is done by Emily Thompson. That's me. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on social media at Cast and Blast FL.